Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Chimera's creative journey is as eclectic as her music. Born in Hong Kong, raised in San Francisco, receiving a British education and classically trained in piano, violin, and singing from a young age, she draws inspiration from her diverse cultural background. Her passion for orchestral music flourished when she became the first violinist in the UK National String Academy during her teens. Her musical career skyrocketed with the release of her debut single Satisfied, remixed by EEDB, which soared to number one on the UK Music Week's Breakers chart. She toured nationally across the UK, performing before tens of thousands of fans. Her subsequent single, Boom Bang Bang, and accompanying UK tour, received significant TV coverage in the UK and Europe. She then proceeded to conduct members of the Hong Kong, Philippine, and Manila Philharmonic Orchestra for live recordings of her orchestral scores. Her original works are performed by symphony and philharmonic orchestras worldwide. In addition to her musical endeavors, Chimera remains deeply committed to her philanthropic work with the One Gaia Foundation, an organization she founded 3 years ago to support children in need. Chimera has released a number of singles that have charted around the world, namely Wait for No One, Give It to Me featuring Filipino singer Chris Lawrence and Brazilian rapper Duende Primeiro, Prodeo and Sun and Sea, both featuring Duendo Primeiro, and Vem Comigo featuring Chaos. She also performed at the world-renowned Salvador Carnival earlier this year with famed Brazilian artist Edu Casanova. Her latest single, Labyrinth of Life, is released in October of 2024. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Chimera. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
I am in Hong Kong. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Okay, so now tell us, where does the name Chimera come from? How did you choose it?
It's come from actually fantasy land. When I was daydreaming one day looking at a tree, and I thought, you know what? A tree has many branches, but it's coming from the same tree.
Yeah.
So as I said, from fantasy land, so I was likening myself to a tree. And I thought, you know, a person can have many different roles. We all say, oh, you wear many different hats. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm not wearing a hat. I'm not wearing many different hats. It's just assuming many different identities at any given time. So I looked to my favorite Greek legends, the myth legends. And Chimera is actually a beast. That is a lion, a goat, and a snake. Okay. So I thought, you know what? It's got a very nice kick to it, and it embodies a lot of who I am in a way. Sometimes, you know, you feel like a roaring lion. You charge ahead, and you feel like you're invincible. You just keep going. Sometimes you feel vulnerable, which is the extreme opposite, a goat. So that's when I go within and try to, you know, be one kind of with myself, and you know, feeling a little bit quiet. And then the snake side is when I feel a little bit more sultry, or, you know, like, and that actually is in my singing. So it's actually embodying my work side as well. So like the orchestra, or, you know, singing or writing or something like that.
So I've never thought about it in that way as the sense of a tree. I like that. So for me, I've always thought of the animal, the octopus. So the body of the octopus is who you are as a person, and then you can have as many tentacles as you please. So you can have one tentacle, 10 tentacles. They are the extensions or the labels or whatever you want to label it as. So for myself, my tentacles would be, I'm a podcast host, I'm an editor, I'm a spinning instructor, a marketing person, and so many other tentacles that play into my world. And as a person, you can have as many or as few as you like. So I completely relate to your concept or your analogy of the tree. I think it's brilliant. I just see it or use a different analogy in my world.
Yeah, I think in a way we are all chimeras, you know.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes all at the same time, or, you know, each at a different time. So that's why I picked it, because I thought that perhaps everybody can relate to it.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music or entertainment world, creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are currently?
So I was born into a family of five kids, and my mum was a piano teacher, a music teacher. So I suppose I've always remembered being in a musical environment. And so I think I always wanted to be like my mum or my sisters, who could play beautiful piano and singing and everything. So I just thought, well, when mum asked us to play piano and violin, and I was, well, obviously, I was 3 years old, I remember, and I crawled up on the piano one day because I had had enough of my sisters, you know, tingling away and just kind of playing their thing. So I thought, you know what, I don't know what they were doing. Let me just try and mimic and do the same thing. So I played a C major scale very badly. And I thought, okay, let me just try. And my sisters were actually in the room. They didn't see anybody playing the piano, but they could hear. So my elder sister thought it was my other sister. So she was having a go at her and saying, Lorraine, you're actually playing really badly today. What's happened to you? And then she was like, I wasn't playing the piano. What are you talking about? So they all came out and saw me, you know, little me, like on the thing, kind of looking at everybody, like, what's going on, yeah, you know? Yeah. So that started my journey. So they went to my mom and said, I think it's time. So I think from then on, you know, I've always just been either with piano or violin. But my musical journey has been very different, because obviously from a classical upbringing to then R&B and pop and, you know, different worlds of music, I suppose, different styles. And that's because I was in the UK, I was studying and had always been in classical music and orchestras and everything. And then when I was introduced to the world of R&B, I was very intrigued, and I was determined to actually just go, right, you know what, I'm going to have a crack at this and see where I can go. And it was through meeting a manager in the UK, in London at the time, well, when I was studying at Bristol University. So that's when my musical journey on the professional side really began.
So you referenced that you play the violin and piano. So are either of those instruments one that you lean more towards, or do you love them equally both the same?
I have to say my first love is piano. Okay. I think it's because with the piano, you can create a beautiful piece of music with no accompaniment, just, you know, the piano on its own. And it can be very soothing. And I love expressing on it, whether I feel happy or depressed or whatever. But with a violin, yes, it's very soothing. You can create beautiful melodies, but you tend to need not so much orchestration, but accompaniment with the piano to go with it. Yeah, so to create the harmony and the chords, yeah. Okay. But I love both of them.
Okay, that makes total sense. Now, you said that before you moved to Bristol to study at university, you were focusing mainly on classical. So up until that point, had you ever thought of expanding into other genres? Or was it only when you arrived at university did it unlock your brain to expand your horizon into the different types of music?
I think I'd always thought, because I was in choir, orchestras and everything, I never really thought that the world of pop, R&B or hip hop or anything like that would be available to me, because that had not been my training. And so everything was pointing towards more the orchestra stuff. Plus, I was training as a soprano, more in opera. So that was my world. So when my manager at the time, who is a very, 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 very dear friend of mine, who's also my partner at the moment, Ferdy Morris from London, he said, do you know what R&B is? And I, at that time, said, R and what? and he said, R&B, rhythm and blues, one of the most commercial, you know, best-selling, you know, genre. I thought, right, and then I thought, yes, I think it's time to explore. And I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to do that. So T, his brother, and Ferdy really opened up this world, you know, and I was passionate about it because I remember going from Bristol to London all the time in my third year of university. And I think that really opened my eyes to more possibilities. And also through the exploration of that and having the freedom to express, because it's a lot more free in a way. Classical I love, but it's more structured. Everything is a lot more structured. So now I'm very happy to say, after a very long time of being in both worlds, I can actually marry both, you know, in terms of creating something that's really a fusion, where it works and not opposing side of the worlds. Yeah.
So when you were first passionate about approaching the R&B and the pop world, yes, there was passion, but obviously when we move into different types of genres of stuff that we do, did it take a while for your voice, your energy, and so forth to attune to that type of genre, or was it quite a quick process?
For me, it wasn't a quick process because I was trained to use my head voice, the falsetto voice, to sing in a soprano way. And in the choir, you sing with other people as one. So you've learned to listen to other voices to make it, you know, whether it's harmony or anything. And I was at Mayfield's and Leonard's Mayfield School with the Schola Cantorum One. And, you know, they do amazing works with like Mozart and everything. And everything was, you work as one. But when you're a solo voice, and especially when you are used to the falsetto soprano voice, to suddenly go from that to using more your natural voice, exploring other ranges of your voice into the R&B, and also on top of that is the rhythm, the delivery of it and everything. And then it's a whole, because I was in ballet, so everything is more classical training. So everything is like upright, you know, you're very graceful on stage and, you know, neck, you know, long, everything long. And then suddenly from that to hip hop dancing and everything is more, you know, like, no, you don't stand straight, not like this. And everything is a huge learning curve for me. Yeah. So it wasn't it wasn't a short thing. It was actually quite a long process of training, rehearsals, and assimilating, kind of like being in the environment of the R&B and hip hop world. And I would say that it has taken, it took quite many years in London and also in the US. And now I would say definitely both are like second skin, like, you know, just second nature to me.
You've referenced that you've merged the two together, the R&B and the classical. Does that mean that when you create something as a combination, or you're doing some R&B pop and some classical?
Actually, I do three things. So with the singing, it's mainly R&B, pop, and then I would say a bit of Latin, because I was very fortunate to also have the opportunity in Brazil. So it's more that. And then on the other side, I also compose for orchestras. So it's more, no, I wouldn't say classical, but more cinematic. Yeah, like more Hans Zimmer's type cinematic products. And then I would add violin or piano or just the violin. So that's the second, second product. Yeah. And then the third one is when I merge the two together, whether it's working with other artists or just orchestra and, you know, the different genre of just my solo works. So, yeah, I've been very fortunate to have the chance to actually explore on all three different avenues.
So when you go into the studio or your day of creativity, do you know going in, okay, today's going to be a pop song, or today's going to be an orchestration creation, or one of the three or four avenues, or does it just unfold as you are creating?
So before even going into the studio, I'm a dinosaur. So what I do is I use this little phone here, and I just simply go, right, voice recorder, because, you know, sometimes when inspiration hits, it just comes. And then, yeah. And I don't care whether it's, you know, R&B. Sometimes you feel, oh, that's a bass line that I just thought of. And that would go great into, say, R&B or hip hop. And then sometimes it's beats, and sometimes it's orchestral like combination of like sometimes I would have like that's why people think I'm crazy. Some of my very good friends would be like, "Oh my God, here we go again," because I'd be like, "Stop, stop, 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 stop! I'm hearing like violins and bass," and then I'm like, "Sorry, I've got to go," and then I just do that, and then I slip into the studio, and then I'd be like, "Right, you know what? I'm going to be a nightmare, absolute nightmare today." And I would tell the engineer, because I have many different voices, I'm hearing voices in my head. So I just need to put everything down and file them away first, and then we put them together. So that's the process most of the time.
Okay, so now when you're creating music for the orchestra or the orchestration side, how is that then presented to the world? As a show, as in, are you the conductor of the orchestra? Or how does it work?
It's a very interesting thing because I didn't think it was going to move so fast, because I was concentrating on more the album with the pop and R&B, whether it's in Brazil or in the UK or Philippines. But then, because I did something last year with the Philippine Philharmonic and also with members of the Hong Kong Philharmonic, and that was my orchestrations with some of the tracks that I already have. And I thought, well, because I have a foundation that tries to help children in need. So now everything has come together in terms of, right, I think a show at the moment will make sense because it's about collaborating with other artists as well, or children in need, or whatever. So if you're in a way extending the platform to, basically get everybody to work together, then it's got to be a show. So that's what we're working towards now, and I'm very excited about it.
You mentioned that one of your other avenues is writing songs and collaborating with others. Is it writing those songs to perform with them, or is it writing those songs to hand over to them for them to perform themselves?
So it depends. Some artists have asked for me to create some strings or orchestrations for their existing songs, just to offer a different delivery, different product for them. In those cases, then I would do that. But most of the time, I actually create something from the ground up. So say, for example, I will have a piece and I would think of the orchestrations, whatever, all of those. And then I will invite certain people to come on, or I would just do it as a solo artist, as myself, to perform that.
Now tell
And
us a little.
sometimes it's very pared down as well. It might be just violin with, a little bit of instrumentation, and sometimes it's a full orchestra.
Okay, makes sense and understood. Tell us a little bit more about your foundation.
It's called One Gaia Foundation. So, following in the vein of Greek legends, Gaia just means earth from the ancient Greeks. So, One Gaia just simply means one earth. And it started about sometime in, I guess, 2019. And I just thought at that time, I have a lot of Filipino friends in Hong Kong, or shall I say, a lot of my friends are Filipinos. And so they're in Hong Kong or in LA, some in London. And they're very good friends, and they share with me a lot of stories about their families, their friends, their communities, their villages, and all of that. And I just sometimes my heart goes out to them because I feel from the natural disasters and everything that they've been experiencing, the children, for example, walk to school barefoot for hours. And I thought, well, why don't we try and do something and see if we can help, And it started off like that. I didn't think of, oh, let's start a foundation now or anything like that. And it started off that way, but from school to school, it kind of ended up branching out into different communities. So, like, for example, children with cancer, children that are disabled, and just different communities. So I thought, something, the majority of the world, needs help. There is more help that's needed than there are, that's not right. But at the same time, we who are very fortunate, I'm very fortunate to be in the entertainment industry because I've had lots of opportunities. But so many talented, you know, especially like children, don't get a chance because of where they are. So I thought, since I'm doing what I'm doing, why not just, you know, try and extend, like, whoever I'm working with, see if everybody can, you know, just try and offer, you know, a bit of their professional advice. Or, and then it kind of branched out that way. Philippines was the starting place for me, because starting with my friends, and then went out to Brazil, for example, Jamaica, and I realized that children are children, people are people, talents are talents. And so they have one thing in common. And I always say, kind of like, you know, when we're babies, we have two things in common. That's, we are naked and we are talented. And that's it. Nobody has zero talent, right? And that's it. So, okay, I won't go down the naked route, right? But the talent route, yeah. You know, yeah. That's what we're all trying to do. You know, you are there, that's your talent. I'm here, that's what I'm trying to do. So it's just about working together. And I feel that one world, and that's why the slogan is one self, one tribe, one Gaia. And that just means it all starts from yourself. If you shine and you share a bit of that light with everybody, you can work as one people, and slowly everybody, you will find, you know, it, the whole world is the same. That's all all about.
And so much of the nonsense that's going on right now is because of differences, because this person reads this book, or this person looks like that and doesn't look like this. And it's all based on differences that are not real. All our blood is red. We all use two-ply toilet paper. There's no gold-plated toilet paper. And if everyone would just get that through their brains, I'm sure the world would be a much better place.
Yes, it's true. You know, when I was afraid of something, or like, oh my goodness, I've got an interview, or oh my goodness, I've got, you know, like when I was doing an exam, facing a teacher, doing like, you know, whatever it is, my mom sometimes told me, doesn't matter. Just imagine everybody had to go to the toilet at the end of the day. Like, imagine people like just sitting at the toilet and we're all the same.
Exactly.
You know, so you reminded me of that when you talked about toilet paper. You know, it's the same thing, you know. Yeah.
So you referenced the show and the album. What else is coming up?
So rest of this year is all about the One Gaia events for the kids. Around this year, around this time, this season, Philippines celebrates Christmas actually very early. Okay. Their Christmas starts around September, and everybody is already like, you know, in the Christmas festive season, I would say. So we are actually holding the One Gaia Stage Quest, which is, last year we called it the Singing Souls. It's more all the singers from all the provinces of the Philippines, you know, to help the children, basically just give them a platform, you know, so the singers can come in from like kids category and teens category, and they all come together, and then we have a grand final. So it's a bit like The Voice, if you like, but just for children in need. So this year we're doing the same thing, but we're extending this to the dancers as well. So not just the singers. So singing, dancing, because we have 10 initiatives catering to different talents, music, arts, sports, you know. So because singing and dancing, we didn't want to make the name too long. So basically I just call it the One Gaia Stage Quest, which is basically encompassing everybody that's on in stagecraft. So I'm focusing on that because we have the auditions coming up in the semifinals and finally the grand finals in December. And then I'm also going to be recording with the members of the Philippine Philharmonic again for something that's going to be out in the UK. And then next year, on the Chimera side, basically, I'm very excited to be going on tour with some of the artists that are in the UK, to be announced soon.
Oh, so this is all very exciting. Looking forward to hearing about all of this and all these things that are happening in your world. What do you enjoy about performing live?
I find that in the performing environment, not just you get to be free, because I would say as an artist, as a musician, because I write my own lyrics. So it's really writing your own experience. And I find it very cathartic. Like, you know, you just basically share your experience with the world, and you know, you express as you're performing it. And as a performer on the acting side, you do very different things, which is you assume the role of another person, and you know, you play various roles. And that for me is very interesting, because it's the opposite of what you do as a musician or, you know, a singer. And so the two things put together, I would just say it's the freedom to express and explore the different worlds. That's what I love about performing.
Oh my word. So you do acting as well. You've got so many fingers and so many pies. So now, is this acting in front of the camera or on stage?
It's film acting camera.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I will be in a couple next year. So they are scheduled they're spread out for next year. So I'm very happy about it. They're actually action in the action genre. I will be, you know, going back to what I used to do in a way, which is martial arts and all of that. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Looking forward to seeing these productions next year, but what do you enjoy about action movies? And you already said, yes, that you do and love martial arts, but is there anything that lends itself to you wanting to do action besides any other types of genre?
Training in martial arts, it's actually, I find that it's very therapeutic. It's actually, you know, when you train, it's another form of expression.
Yeah.
Because it's just expression with your moves, your body, and not just on the fitness, you know, side of all of that, because of course, you know, that, you know, all of that we know. But I do find that it's the sense of focus it provides me anyway, for me to actually feel when I'm stressed, it's actually a stress relief. Because, you know, when you're in the training, you do nothing apart from that. So I find for me, tennis, and I'm still in my tennis office at the moment, but I find that tennis and martial arts is actually very similar, in the sense that you just do nothing apart from you focus on your training, your action, every single thing. And then when you're doing it in the, well, it's a little bit different when you're doing it, of course, you know, in film acting, because you're not fully, you are more adapting a different style, and that's action choreography and everything. So that is another form of training. So I find that very challenging. And also the different style of training, you know, or different style of martial arts. Yeah. I find that when I'm training, I'm a lot more alert, and that is more transferable skills back to the other stuff that I'm doing. I'm a bit restless, I'm sorry.
I'm giggling because I'm the same as you. I teach spinning classes. I do so many things, so I can relate. It's interesting because when a lot of people watch movies and they see the action sequences, they think, oh, it's just that. But actually, there's a lot of choreography. There's exact step work, and it's very intricate and very detailed. And for a lot of people who just watch the movie, they don't actually realize this.
No, yeah, absolutely. In fact, when we do action training, you pick up a lot faster the action choreography if you are used to dance choreography, for example, because you know the steps, the routine and everything. But with action choreography, you also have to obviously learn, you know, your opponent, how the camera, the angles and everything. And also to reserve your strength and how are you going to, you know, exert and all of that. So a lot of things I try to compare them and go, right, I can take from that with that and, you know, adapt, you know, different things. And it's definitely a lot of work. It's nothing is as glamorous as what people think.
And that whole 2 to 3 to 5 minute scene is days and weeks of planning and training and choreography.
I have a lot of respect and admiration for action choreographers, the stunt team, and, you know, anybody that's doing action movies, because, you know, you literally hurt yourself doing that because of, well, that's actually just what happens, because you involve yourself, you put your all of you into it. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, certain things are inevitable.
So let's shout out now to all the behind the scenes and stunt people for all the important work.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Huge respect. Huge.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Oh, wow. I would say Hurricane by Fleury, Empire State of Mind, Alicia Keys. I just love that. I have so many, actually. I also listen to classical things. So David Garrett, of my favorite violinist, actually, with Dangerous. I love that. Gosh, so many. But 5, where am I?
You got two more.
Madonna, I love, I've been listening to Like a Prayer a lot. Right. I don't know why. I just kind of turn back time and it's empowering for me for some reason. I don't know why. And also the other day, I was just letting my hair down and suddenly I went on stage and just did that. So that's that. That's one of them. Oh gosh, who else? I actually have been listening to Anastasia or Out of Love as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Just have fun and express yourself in whatever ways you want to, as if no one is watching, even if you hope secretly that someone is watching.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.